أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. اللهم صل. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأولاد والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة صدق الله العلي العظيم. فات الصلوات. One other important supplication in Ziyarat Ashura that we recite is, we say, Allahumma ja'alni fi maqami hadha mimman tanaluhu minka salawatun wa rahmatun wa maghfira. Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Here, Allahumma, Allahumma has other words for it, because Allahumma comes from Ya Allah. When you say Allahumma, you are calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you say Ya Allah? Because Allah is the name that exemplifies all the attributes of the sacred essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the infinite sense. And therefore, when we say Allahumma, it is correct when we say Allahumma, because we are very far from that infinite essence who has all the attributes of perfection. So it's right to use the interjection Ya Allah, Allahumma. So when we say Allahumma, we should feel that remoteness, that we are very far from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And this Allahumma applies to all, even the one who is so near to Allah in terms of spiritual purity. Because if you go and see, all the actions of Allah depend on Allah's amr. If there is no kun, then fayakun will not transpire. You need a kun from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that a fayakun can transpire. In any stage whatsoever you reach the proximity of Allah, still you are as if you don't have anything. You are Aynul Faqr, as the great scholars have mentioned this, that the human being or whatever exists in this world, in whatever stage it may be, even the Holy Prophet is Aynul Faqr, sheer poverty. Alright, so in whatever stage you reach, you are Aynul Faqr. And that's why the words Allahumma is very right to use, because you always sense that remoteness and distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allahumma means Ya Allah. Ya is an interjection and the vocative is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say Allahumma ja'alni fi maqami hadha. O Allah, make me in this station of mine. Maqami is the place where you stand. So physically, if you would like to interpret this, you say, Allahumma ja'alni fi maqami hadha. O Allah, make me where I stand now. So I want this from you now, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes you say, when you say maqami, you express this, that, O Allah, whichever stage I am in, that is this low stage that I am in, and of course, however much pure a person is, still he will feel that he is in a very low stage, especially those who have become very near to Allah. When they see that they are extremely or utterly dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come to realize that they are nothing, and therefore they express this lowliness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when one says, Allahumma ja'alni fi maqami, maqami can stand for two things. One is the place where a person stands is maqam, and one is the position or the station he enjoys. Allahumma ja'alni fi maqami hadha mimman tanaluhu minka, from those who get from you salawatun. Salawat is the plural of salat, and salat is literally, if you go and see, salat means al-in'itaf wal-mail, that is attention and inclination from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the abd. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, upon these people who are patient, Allah's salawat comes. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inclines to them and pays attention, gives special attention to them. And when He gives special attention to them, they get the effects. That is why you find that أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ وَالرَّحْمَةٌ, and thereafter the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Therefore salawat is that inclination from Allah. Wa rahma, and Allah's mercy also, make me from those who get Allah's salawat, that is who receive the special attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His special mercy too. Because if we take rahmah as that all-embracing mercy, this all-embracing mercy everybody gets. Everybody is receiving each and every moment of his life. If you go and see that even the kuffar, even the munafiqeen, even those people who hurt the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, all of them, whether he's a kafir, munafiq, whoever, because Allah is Rahman, this all-embracing mercy covers everybody. So this rahmah here is specific mercy that we are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, O Allah, make me in this station where I am in, مِمَّنْ تَنَالُهُ, from those who get from you صَلَوَاتٌ, that is special attention and inclination, وَرَحْمَةٌ, and mercy, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ, and forgiveness. This is the first dua that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important thing is this ayah, this verse that I have quoted, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs that if you really want salawat and rahmah from me, then be of the patient ones. When you get a lot of problems in life, let's say your property is taken away, you lose your family members, the way this verse says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those whom, when they receive or get a calamity, when a calamity befalls them, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. You see, this is not only verbal, that they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That when they get the calamity, you just say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, full stop. No. Here, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ has two important messages for us. One is that we belong to Allah. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, we belong to Allah. Each and every property of ours belongs to Allah. So if He takes away, then we should not get worried or get sorrowful, because it is His property. Whenever He gives, He will give. Whenever He takes away, He will take away. Inna lillah. This not only should you verbally say, but intellectually comprehend and practically implement also. That is how this salawat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it's not this qawl that is mentioned here. It has a special meaning That's how Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan mentions that don't think that this qawl is just verbal. No. It is something that a person has understood and implements practically. Ulaika salawatun alayhim salawatun min rabbihim. So, when a person has understood this first part, that inna lillah, and has also understood the second part, wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and that our aim in life is only towards Allah. Our aim is only Allah. These two important factors are so important that if a person understands and implements, then he will always be patient. Because he knows that whatever he has from anything, whether property, whether children, whatever he has is Allah's. And if he wants to take it away, then he has the ikhtiyar to take it away. And the second thing is that if he knows that my hadaf and my aim in life is to reach the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach that station whereby Allah accepts me in His proximity and neighborhood, then you will find that this person would always be patient. And you would see that this awliyaullah, those who are near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather the a'imma alayhim as-salam, all of them, you would find that their life, whenever they lost something, they would not be sorrowful because they lost these things and they had a special worldly attachment towards these things. You find that when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam cries for Hazrat Ali Akbar salamullah alayhi, it is not because, you see, he wanted to see how Ali Akbar is going to get married and, you know, feel very good that alhamdulillah he's got married, now he's settled, you know. No. He lost Ali Akbar because he said, "Kunna idha ishtaqna ila Rasulillah nazarna ilay." When we felt like seeing the Holy Prophet, we would look at such a personality like Hazrat Ali Akbar salamullah alayhi, who was khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan shabihan bi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This was the reason. So Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, like any other imam, knew that the hadaf and the aim behind everything in this world, the aim behind creation is to come closer to the only beloved who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. When a calamity befalls on them, they would say إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون, and practically implement that in their lives. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. Upon these are the Allah's mercy and Allah's blessings and Allah's special attention descend upon these people, and upon these is Allah's specific mercy. So when we say that, oh Allah, we want this salawat from you, and wa rahma and maghfira, we should not say it only verbally, we should seek the causes. There is a very beautiful principle that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, has propounded as far as this is concerned. He says, أَبَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يُجْرِيَ الْأَشْيَاءِ إِلَّا بِأَسْبَابِهَا. Allah did not allow things to take place except by its causes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now explains us in the Holy Quran that these are the causes of salawat wa rahma and maghfira. If you really want to get forgiven, then this is the cause. Seek forgiveness. إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you really want this salawat and rahma from Allah, then whenever you lose your property or you lose your things and you are patient and you know that it is from Allah and therefore Allah has taken it away, He has the right. And that your path is towards Allah, you get that patience in yourself, you would see Allah's salawat and rahmah coming on you and you will be forgiven and you will go slowly and gradually towards Him, because this is the hadaf and this is the main purpose of creation. As we said in our discussion in the beginning, that when we recite Ziyarat Ashura, what is the purpose? If you want to know the purpose of Ziyarat Ashura, then look at the purpose of why you are created. And when you know the purpose of why you are created, whatever you do in this world, whatever you do, whether you eat, sleep, anything you do, it should be geared towards the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Ziyarat Ashura is one of your deeds that you are going to do, it should be geared towards the proximity of Allah. Your hadaf and your aim and endeavor should be to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after this, after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salawat and rahmah and maghfirah, we say, Allahumma ja'al, O Allah, make me. Allahumma ja'al mahyaya, make my life. Mahya Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Like the life of Muhammad and his progeny. Wa mamati, and my death. Mamata Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. The death of Muhammad and his progeny. Now again, the first principle that we should search for is that what is this mahya Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad, wa mamati mamati Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad? Is it just saying that we don't know their lives, and thus, oh Allah, you know better, and we are praying to you, make it for us? As I said, you see, everything that you get in this world, laysa lil insani illa ma saha. It's a very beautiful verse. Anything that you want, you have to do with your struggle and koshish. If you don't have struggle, then you would not reach to where you want to reach. Of course, you can't say that your struggle is the thing that would make you rich. No. And that is why sometimes you find that you spend so many days earning, but then what you wanted and what you thought you would get, you didn't get. Because every cause in the lower level is bi-idhnillah, in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your struggle should be there, but you should not depend on that struggle. Laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a is something which is correct from the Holy Quran, but we should understand that your sa'i and your struggle, even for worshipping, you look at the Holy Prophet, he would worship so much, but still he says that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. O Allah, we have not worshipped you the way you ought to be worshipped. This means that the Holy Prophet is not depending on his struggle at all. One of the students of the Holy Prophet, I'll give an example of one of the students of the Holy Prophet, the late Imam Khomeini, before his demise, before taking him to the hospital, when Imam Khomeini was to go to the hospital, he tells his wife that, you know, I'm not going to return back. I'm going to the hospital, I'm not going to return back. But mind you that going towards the hereafter and barzakh is difficult. So his daughter-in-law was there. And she said that, Agha, if you say this, and knowing that you have always been into mustahabbat and you have never committed apparently sins, although we don't say that he was in the state of ma'asum, but apparently they didn't see, he was an adil according to the people. And therefore she said that if you, with all this irfan and this spiritual status that you have, you say this, what about us? We get despaired. Then Imam Khomeini says, no, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't get despaired, because everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he makes a very beautiful statement. And this also he learns from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He says that, what have I got to show the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What amal have I got? I don't have any amal in my credit. The a'mal that I did, I struggled, I tried, but everything is in Allah's hands. I can't say, oh Allah, I came with this amal. Because if you go and see each and every moment of that amal, it was the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that transpires, anywhere, any thought that comes, any intellectual phenomenon that transpires, is bi-idhnillah wa bi-qudratihi. So what do we have? But then we are told, alright, you have a volition now. Although everything is controlled by Allah, but He doesn't push you to do things. And therefore, you do and struggle and we'll help you. So struggle is important, and therefore we should try to seek what are the causes that would make us be near their life and their death. There is a very beautiful verse of the Holy Quran which depicts this state of, you know, being, having a life like the life of the Holy Prophet, which is narrated from Prophet Ibrahim salamullah alayh. He says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَا وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily my prayers and my devotions and my life and my death is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we pointed out earlier, that they are mahallu mashiyatillah. Therefore, whatever they do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is Allah's volition that is working. Not forcefully. Not that, you know, they are driven to do these things and they don't have a volition. But because they are so engrossed and so extinct in Allah's essence and attributes, whenever they do anything, it is bi-idhnillah. As I said, that Thar Allah that we talked about is that station like Aynullah and Yadullah, whereby Allah does the thing, but through Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And therefore, they had a very high station. We should try to become near them. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha says that you cannot come, you cannot be like me, at least come near me. You find that some of the A'imma alayhimu salam even telling their own students that this person is from me, as I mentioned. Isa minni, min ahl al-bayt, he clearly says. Isa, the one who is from whom? Minni ahl al-bayt, or minna ahl al-bayt. There are so many statements of minna ahl al-bayt you will find in riwayat. Why? Because they did according to what they were told. And of course they have limitations. You can't say that they should be like the imam because they don't also have the dharfiyah and the capacity to come to that station which the imam has. Now this hayat of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, according to the Holy Quran and according to riwayat, we find that this hayat is hayatun tayyibah, as mentioned in the Holy Quran. This hayat that we are aiming for and opting for according to the Holy Quran and riwayat. I don't want to mention all the riwayat, because what has happened is that the time is also very less. There is a lot to cover, and unfortunately we have not covered so much in these 10 days. The verse says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whosoever does good, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whether male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he or she is a believer, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, verily we will give life, a good life to him or her. Alright. Now this حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, first of all, let's look at this verse painstakingly, and you'll find that what leads to حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. First is مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whosoever does good. Now صالح is translated as good. Tayyib is also translated as good. Many things are translated as good. Khair sometimes is also translated as good. But salih is not necessarily only good. The literal meaning of salih is that amal that is according to equilibrium. It has its own equilibrium, its own balance. It comes from a balanced personality. That is, when a person, you see, a person has some very important potentials in him, powers in him. For example, he has the power of anger, he has the power of desire, he has the power of intellect. These three powers that are hidden in him, if they are not in their equilibrium, then he is not in Siratul Mustaqim. And there is the amal that comes out from such a personality is not salih at all.
So let us say if he was to be open-handed, so open-handed that he would waste his money on people who do not deserve money. So he is not jawad. He is going to the extreme. And sometimes he doesn't give money when he knows that he has money and he should give money. But he thinks that, no, I don't want to give this person money. So he's stingy. Again, he is going to the other extreme. To have that balance is very difficult. Our great ulama said that this Sirat al-Mustaqim that is hotter than the fire, sharper than the sword, and thinner than the hair, is not a physical thing on the year after that, you know, a person would walk and fall down with his physical body. No. It is in this world as we continue towards the journey of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, this is Siratul Mustaqim, to maintain that Haddul Wasat in every act that we do. So if there is no balance in our acts, then we are not in Siratul Mustaqim. And thus, every act that comes out from an unbalanced spirit is not salih. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. This is amal salih. But he or she should be mu'min, because even if you do something of equilibrium, it is the time of giving sadaqah now. It is the time of helping the mu'min brother or sister now. You do it, but you don't have iman. Still, you wouldn't have that hayatun tayyibah, that hayat of Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Say the salawat, please. In other riwayat, we find that this hayat is known as wilayat and muwalat Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad alayhim afdalu salawatil musallim, that by following the Holy Prophet and his sinless progeny is when you would get this hayatun tayyiba. But then as I said that, see, it's not just saying that we would follow them. We should try to understand them. It's very important to understand them and understand their acts. And when you follow them, when you understand them and understand their acts, is when your amal would be amalun salih. And you, when you practically effect this amalun salih in your life, then you come to hayatun tayyiba. And Allama Tabatabai has a very beautiful discussion in Al-Mizan under this verse. Those who appreciate both Farsi and Arabic, Al-Mizan is there both in Farsi and Arabic. He says that such a person has left his imaginal life completely. And he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes after this endeavor and the high aspiration that is near him. This is such a personality that we have. Because he has understood the aim of his life. That imaginal life of attachment towards the world is gone. And he goes to the higher realm. This is how his expression is. It's beautiful. Those who get time, inshallah, they should look at this. Another verse before we conclude of this ziyarah is, Allahumma la'an Aba Sufyan wa Muawiyah wa Yazid ibn Muawiyah alayhim minka al-la'natu abad al-abidin. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. First of all, we mention these names, and every name has a certain significance, because these ziyarat and these du'as are not just written, you know, just like that, by any person who would like to write, and then the Imam confirms it. No. Especially this ziyarah, I said, and we looked at it, that it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's Hadith al-Qudsi. And thus, each and everything is like an adab. And each and everything has a significance. That why mention Abu Sufyan particularly, and why do la'an on him particularly, and why do la'an on Muawiyah particularly? You find that the root cause of all these things is Abu Sufyan in one way, because he is the father of Muawiyah, who paved the way for Yazid to come. And when we talked about Allahumma al'an awwala zalimin zalama haqqa Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, or when we said about execration against those who laid the foundation of this dhulm on the Ahlul Bayt, and we said that it refers to those two people according to that tradition of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. If you look at history, it clearly shows us that. Because when Abu Bakr comes to the caliphate, he chooses Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, the brother of Muawiyah in Sham. So he is the first one to pave the way for Bani Umayyah to come to Sham. So Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, that is the brother of Muawiyah, comes at the time of Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr leaves and Umar is there, Umar takes out Yazid bin Abi Sufyan and puts Muawiyah instead of Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, the brother who is worse in character. And then you find that with what plots he stayed in that place and what he did against the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and even the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So who is the root cause? It is them. First of all, they take, there is ghasbul wilaya, and then they also practically paved the way for what transpired in the plains of Karbala. So Abu Sufyan, basically, he is known in history that first of all, when the Holy Prophet signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the Holy Prophet's name Rasulullah was mentioned, he said, delete this from the pact. Therefore, you are not Rasulullah, write Muhammad only, bin Abdullah. This was the first thing that we find. Apart from the problems he had, his personality and the sins that he committed, because in history also it is written what sins he committed and so on. But apart from that, you find that he did this. And when he was forced to accept Islam, because he knew that if he wouldn't, then he would be killed, he forcefully accepted while he still was not believing in Islam. Because when Uthman comes in caliphate, he is blind at that time. Abu Sufyan is already a blind man. So he says, very interesting, he says, عندكم أحد من غيركم, that among you, is there somebody else who are not from Bani Umayyah? قالوا لا, they said no. قال يا بني أمية تلقفوها تلقف الكرة, snatch this خلافت O بني أمية the way you snatch the ball. فوالذي يحلف به أبو سفيان, he said that, and I swear by the thing that Abu Sufyan swears in, that is the gods that Abu Sufyan swears in. He is still an idol worshipper. ما من عذاب ولا حساب ولا جنة ولا نار ولا بعث ولا قيامة. He said, there is no Jannah, Jahannam, there is nothing. So he is a disbeliever still. At that time, after he had already proclaimed himself and admitted that he is a Muslim, you find that he still is a non-Muslim. Well, there is very little time. I'll just touch in Muawiyah and then we'll go to some statements of Musiba. Wa Muawiyah. Muawiyah, first of all, the name is very funny because Muawiyah in Arabic is a female dog who barks al-kalbatul awiyah. What is surprising is that once in one of my journeys to Hajj, in Mina is a place whereby a person should propagate the right things, because it's a very beautiful situation. If the Muslims get united in Mina, then they can create a revolution altogether. But we have limitations there. Instead of giving good thoughts to the people, they would say, I listen this. I heard this myself. They said that Muawiyah kana min ajillati sahaba. Muawiyah was from the ajillati sahaba. So I thought to myself that is this place for joking? Because if Muawiyah is from ajillati sahaba, with all these problems, you know, then what about those traditions about the Holy Prophet at his time? What the Holy Prophet said about Muawiyah? Because Muawiyah, it is said that he would eat a lot. It said he would eat a lot, so much so that when he would burp, he would say, take away the food. After burping, take away the food. He would say, akaltu hatta malaltu. I ate until I got tired. Walakin ma shabi'atu, but I am not yet satisfied. This was his position. Now, the reason why I mention this is a riwayah that is there from Imam Ali alayhi salam. You listen to that riwayah, it's very interesting. To come and so that we can weigh Muawiyah, who is Muawiyah, that they say ajillatul sahaba and what he did. We know of what transpired. Once the Holy Prophet calls Muawiyah and Muawiyah tells somebody that tell the Prophet I'm eating. So the Prophet calls him again and again he replies and responds with the same thing. Until the Prophet curses him and says, La ashba Allah batna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make him satisfied. And that is why Muawiyah would get tired of eating, but he would never get satisfied. Now, having taken this muqaddimat, look at this tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Qala Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi afdalu salawat al-musallin. من كانت همته ما يدخل في بطنه كانت قيمته ما يخرج منه. Whosoever's desire and whosoever's endeavor is what gets inside his stomach, his value is what comes out of him. This was Muawiyah. This is you don't need a Quranic verse for that. It's just look at the muqaddimat and get the natija, and you'll find that Muawiyah is this person. The personality of Muawiyah, the value of Muawiyah is what comes out of him in the toilet. This was the station of Muawiyah. But Muawiyah, this was the personality of Muawiyah. But if you look at politically what he had done and how he made the ground ready for the tragedy of Karbala, you would come to realize that really the more we do la'an, the less it is. And today, as I said, these are just pointers for us to know that in today's time, we do have Muawiyahs existing who call themselves as leaders of Muslim governments, so-called Muslim governments. But when they come to action, come on, you tell in your meetings that Iraq should be helped, that people are being killed in Iraq, are being slaughtered in Iraq, and you pave the way and you enable America to pass through your ground. What is that? That clearly shows that this is the example of a Muawiyah that exists in today's world. And we have many such people. Because if you say that Iraqi inhabitants should not be brutally killed, then why do you even allow American planes to pass through your places? And many other things. Today, if oil was blocked, then America would be crippled easily. Recite a salawat, please. Inshallah, the Sayyid who will come will give us the masaib. But then, there was one thing that I had read while I was reading one of the maqatil that was really moving, and I thought that this is the right place to mention this. Once, during the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the then ruler Mansur al-Dawaniqi once attacked the house of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and put his house on fire in Medina. So when he put fire in the house of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in Medina. The next day, one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam goes to the house of Imam and sees that the Imam is in the state of sorrow and he is weeping. So he asks, "Ya Imam, this is something which is naturally happening to you. This is not the first time. So why are you crying and why are you weeping? You know that these people now and again have done these things to you. And thus, what is the reason for your crying?" So Imam says, "I did not cry because of what happened to me yesterday. But when they put the house in fire, I saw the ladies moving from one room to the other in fright of fire." He said, "That scenario made me remember the plains of Karbala at night, when the ladies were moving from one tent to the another because fire had caught their frocks. And that is the reason why I started weeping. This scenario is even worse than what transpired to us." وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.